Here we go. Now, this would be the last part we do on virtue. Let's look at virtue. As a definition, it is conformity to a standard of right, morality, a particular moral excellence, an order of angels, a beneficial quality or power of a thing. And this thing slows down. Manly strength or courage, a commendable quality or trait, capacity to act, and chastity, especially in a woman. Now, this virtue in the statue of a perfect man, we said last week, was not virtue as in being a virgin. All right? It is in a... You hot?
It's very hot.
Okay, well, the air conditioner's on, so...
It's very hot.
Okay.
I turned the fan off.
That one's on, right? Is it high or?
I just turned it on.
Okay, all right.
Good. It wasn't.
Yeah, you need to leave them on because it gets stuffy in this room. There's only
it
one vent.
It wasn't on, I didn't know.
There's only one vent in and no return vent. So what comes in here stays in here. So. And with all this hot air going on in here. Anyway, hallelujah. Virgin. It's not a virgin as in virginity. It is virtue or what the prophets say. It was strength. The woman touched the hem of the garment. Jesus had virtue. And that's what we're looking at. Each one of us is in virtue. Now remember, the woman touched his garment and got the blessing that she asked for. He felt virtue go out. But when the men that knowed he was a prophet, as the woman at the well, put a rag around his head and hit him in the head and said, "Now if you're a prophet, tell us who you hit you." They didn't feel no virtue, did they? It was the way you approach it. Same way with the way we approach today in listening to the preachers today, we're going to draw virtue off of it, or we're going to sit and figure out in our brain how to build a house or whatever. You know, your mind can be way over yonder and you draw nothing from it. But if you come expecting that there is virtue there, see, that's what you got to do. You have confidence. We have confidence that we're going to hear from God today. Okay? Now, so that's what? Strength. And that's what we need for our daily journey, because we are still humans. We have human thoughts and ideas, and we're not born again in our spirit, in our spirit realm where we have our trouble. There can be things that are unclean in that realm. Unclean thoughts, something against a brother, harsh words. Hey, we can go on and on. But we got to break through all that and see that the virtue comes from God, which is pure and holy, and nothing's wrong with him, and everything's right, and the word's correct. And that's where we get our strength, because virtue is something that's pulled from every angle. Because you can go home and you can read your Bible and draw virtue or strength from the physical book, but it's from you listening. And what did you have? Faith. You got, remember, add to what you believe. If you don't believe that God's going to help you when you read Scripture, then you know what? Just like the men that hit Jesus. He was the wellspring. He was the whole virtue bottled up in one man. And then people beat him and just thought he was a human being. They never drew anything from him at all. Okay? They never drew any strength. They never drew anything like that from him. And not drawing from him. This thing is not working again. Oh. Hello. Okay. I've turned off and back on again. Because look, Jesus felt virtue go from him because somebody wanted something. There was a need in somebody's life. Same way with you and I. There's virtue and strength in all Christianity. I believe Christianity is virtue. That's where you go. I mean, how are you going to get strength from this over here or some worldly something over here? Sure, you can draw natural human abilities, but that's going to pass away. But virtue, the virtue of Jesus Christ is what we're looking for, not the virtue of Wayne Dale or or Bob Black, or it's not the virtue, but it's you're realizing that there's something in there that you can draw from. Okay? That's why the ones that beat Jesus did not believe. So you go back to faith. They did not believe he was the Messiah. So they didn't get anything. Yet he was the epitome of that statue of a perfect man. Had all the virtues in his life, had everything working, but their unbelief stopped the whole thing. Now the woman at the well, or the woman that had the blood issue, now what did she? She was looking for something. She was looking for some strength. She was looking for something that she needed. And then here walked Jesus by. And of course God works on both ends. You know, he gave her a desire to know that, hey, if I can not just touch the man, just touch what he wears. That's why you look at Paul, and I believe that's where Paul got in Acts 19, where the people got where they took clothes that were on Paul, right? Passed them out as prayer cloths. That's just like same thing with you and I. There's nothing to that piece of paper. That piece of paper could come from a garbage can, which we know they don't. We don't do that. But if it come, I mean, if we were out somewhere working in a field and I had an old dirty rag or something in my hand, or Daddy had an old dirty rag in his hand working, when that 3-inch nail went through all these fingers right here and the thing was sticking in, you know, this far like my finger and sticking out about like that, it went through that finger in this finger. And part of the way into that one, well, I pulled that one out, but I had these two here with that nail sticking through it. Well, I just reached and pulled the thing out, and we were working, sweaty, sawdust, and all kind of stuff, and Dad said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, just pray for it. So he took his glove off and laid his hands up. Well, his hands were just as dirty as mine. But I went over to Mama's house and got some Epsom salt, put a little Epsom salt on it, and never went to the doctor, never got a tetanus shot, went right back to work that day. Now, honest to goodness, the next day it was very sore. You drive a 3-inch nail through both two, three fingers. And, but you remember I told you the, you can see it right there, there's an X. You know how when you nail something and pull the nail out, there's kind of an X because the way the points go down. Well, it's still right there in my finger, can't you see? Yeah, we'll play. That's where that nail went in. That's why there's two bumps right there. That's where that nail went in. It went in right there, come out right here, and went in that finger. With a nail gun. I was shooting a nail gun, and I missed the board. And I was holding the board. I missed the board, and when I went down, I pulled the trigger. When I did, it went. Okay. Well, I went to the doctor about 3 months later, and he said, what happened to you? Because it was still a little bit swole. He said, what happened to your hand? And I told him what happened. He said, well, did you have it taken out by a surgeon? I said, well, kind of. The great physician was there. But when I pulled it out, honestly, it was that adrenaline shock at first. You know, it just shocks you and it doesn't really hurt that bad. So the first thing I done real quick, I grabbed the head of it and pulled it out. So I had it out. But he looked at it and he said, now, what did you do? And I told him, I said, there's a 3-inch nail. Now, the nail was this big. And it's about as big around as, it's almost as big around as this pencil right down here at the bottom, about like that. And it went through into here, and into here like that. And it was sticking out like that when I pulled it out. But he said, well, did you have somebody fix it? And I said, no. He said, did you have an x-ray? I said, no. I said, never even went to the doctor. I said, my dad prayed for it. We believe in prayer. My dad prayed for it. And he said, well, I surgically couldn't have put that. Surgically. He said, I couldn't have moved you have a tendon going here, and you have a tendon going here. Top and bottom. If it breaks this tendon here, your finger always falls down. It never will come back up. If a tendon's here, your finger's going to be straight forever, and you're never going to be able to do anything to keep your finger straight. And he said, and there's little bitty bones in there. And he said, you didn't see any bones? I said, no, I didn't know bone come out. Nothing. I mean, when I pulled it out, went over to Mama's and put the Epsom salt on it,
peroxide.
I didn't do no more.
Huh?
And peroxide. Put a little peroxide on it. But I never stopped. But I believe there was some virtue standing there. This is my point. I believe there was some virtue standing there that I didn't have to run to the doctor to get. Because when he prayed for it, I said, well, that's it. He said, what are you going to do? I said, let's go back to work. And he said, you need to go over there to the house and put some Epsom salt or something, or get Nanny to find something to put on it. So, anyway, the doctor said, I couldn't have surgically placed that nail in your finger and not hit this tendon or this tendon or a bone. He said, there's not but just a little, just a micrometer amount of room between this tendon, that tendon, and there's a bone that runs through there too. He said, that nail must have went right over between, and it didn't go through them, or I would not have had any use of this finger. I said, well, I said, thank God that in my stupidity, he put the nail through there the right way. You know, he put the nail through there the right way. My guardian angel was sitting there, you know, diagnosing it, and then when it happened, it was done. So you see there, there's no... I was careful from then on. That's not like we were reading. It's not, let's don't be stupid. So, well, if God healed that, I think I'll just, you know, no, you can't do that. That's stupidity. And that's being, well, I ain't gonna say. Let's not tempt God. That's tempting God. Let's don't say, God, well, you took me out of this. I'm going to do it again and see you take me. No, he may be far away from there. Because you know what? It's the approach. Because God is where the virtue comes from. But now what if God, and we're going to see it this afternoon, what if God has condescended down and wants you to be God? If we're the last amorphy of God, then where do we draw strength from? We draw strength from God, sure, through prayer. But I believe the Bible says that there's five-fold ministry that's going to perfect the saints. So to get your perfection, you're going to have to listen to a preacher. I have to listen to a preacher. That's the problem. Preachers don't think they have to listen to preachers. No. And I've heard some of them, and they definitely need to be listening to some preacher. All right? But the way they just get up and start preaching, they open their mouth, and nothing comes out. There's no virtue. But see, we draw virtue and strength from the things that we, what? Believe in. So see, you drop all everything we're going to look at. And I really didn't realize this until just a few months ago when we first got started with this. Everything, that's why Brother Brown said, all this is based on faith. Well, I knew the quote. Well, you got to take virtue, and you don't do away with faith. You got to come right back to that faith. Have faith in virtue. You got to come up to knowledge. You got to drop right back to faith and have faith. That's why I said, let's put it this way. Add to what you believe, virtue. Then add to what you believe, knowledge. Then add to what you believe, temperance. Because you got to believe that you can have temperance. If you don't believe you have temperance, you can't have it. Right. You got to believe. And you got to believe there's a place you can go to get it.
That's right.
See, that's important. But see, there's a way been made for us to get it. There's an avenue through the prophet's message and now through the fivefold ministry where you can draw virtue and strength from a fivefold ministry. Or from listening to tapes and you know, things like that. You can do that and draw strength from, but to get perfected, that says statue of a perfect man, you gotta always come back to a fivefold ministry. That's why we believe in a fivefold ministry. We don't believe in a one-fold, we believe in a five-fold ministry. There's five different avenues that God brings you virtue and strength from. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's the Greek lexicon definition, which is coming straight from Peter there in the Bible, which is dunamis. Dunamis, which is what? Power. Mighty works, strength. Miracles, strength, power, and ability. Now, number 1A, inherent power. See that? Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. That's how you can draw strength from it. Now, Brother Dale, if you saw him last week in a bar and you saw him with another woman and now and him come and preach the gospel, that's another nature. than what you're expecting of a virtuous person. So can you draw strength from that? No. Same thing with us. That's why a life lived. Come on now, Brother Brown said a life lived is where we're missing it. The life lived brings these. I believe a life lived brings these things automatically.
Right.
They have to come to that life. All right? So now look. Or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. All right? Power for performing miracles or moral power and excellence of soul. Moral power and excellence of soul. All right? See, there's even a man's ability, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. You can draw virtue from that. People like Dave Ramsey and people like that, you can draw virtue because they're wealthy. I mean, you really, it's like Dad said, you really don't want to read a book about how to raise kids from a single parent, and he was an only child.
Right.
It just gets worse and worse. You know, I mean, and how can you pick that book up and say, man, I'm going to really get something out of this. Well, you might, but it may not be what you think you're going to get. But what about somebody that's got four or five kids and been married 30-something years? I had a friend of mine the other day, well, he's a friend of Zach's, actually a young boy named Chris Porter. Well, he took over a church over in Banks County called Rock Springs. Jacob and I were talking about it the other day, and we met him on the road over there. He was running, so we kind of got in a conversation about it, not to him. But he's 23, that close to Zach's age, 23. And he's pastoring a church that says people have been married longer than he's been born. Now, not saying anything against the boy, I think he'll do a good job. What he needs to do is get a bunch of them older guys and get them close to him. So he's going to draw virtue. If he will, he's going to draw virtue off them older people. But how in the world can he, like Jacob said, how in the world is he going to sit down with somebody who's been married 35 years and go, we're having a problem with our marriage. And he's been married for like 6 months or something. You know, I think he just got married. So there's, really you can't draw, I would have a problem with drawing some virtue from that. But now if somebody's been married 40 years or 30 years and you've been married 30 years, I can sit down and relate and you can have there's a drawing power there. Okay? But God will give you godly virtue to be able to help. I'm not saying that young people can't help older people, but I think the Bible never says that. The Bible says the older will teach the younger. Okay, I never saw it in there where it said the younger will teach the older. All right, now, some young person with the Holy Ghost, though, can help you. Okay, so let's don't get all that all messed up that we don't have to, you know, I'm 53 years old and anything below me, I'm not listening to. Hey, as you get older, there's a lot of people back on that side than they are on that side. Like a man said the other day, he was 80-something years old, and he said, I don't have many friends anymore. He said, they're dying. Okay. So we can have the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Power and resources arising from numbers. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. Now that's man's ability of strength. But now, watch Luke 6:19. There was a whole bunch of people touched him one day, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So they all were looking for something. They all were able to touch Jesus and get what they expected, not just one person. And then we see where Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter said they were with him. Master of the multitude, throng thee and press thee and saith, who touched me? Because, see, Peter saw that there was hundreds of people around him, probably touching him and pushing him and you know, all kind of stuff. But that woman just crawled up underneath there and just reached and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Now, he was not talking in the human sense then.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That wasn't the human man Jesus talking, you understand? Yes. Sure, it was the human man Jesus. But Jesus, that's why they couldn't understand. They're like, well, Peter said, well, man, everybody's touching you. Right. They're pressing you so hard, I can't hardly keep them off of you. Right. And you said, who touched me? Yeah, there's 100 people touching you, and you said, somebody have touched me. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And then what does he do? The Bible says he turns, and he called her spirit. He contacted her spirit. And then what did he do? He said, woman, wherever them 20-something years or whatever it was, 30 years that you've had that problem, heal. Heal instantly. Because she had went to the fountain of all virtue. I think we read this one the other day. But let's look at number 29 there. I believe the virtue is in Christ, and Christ is the Word. All right, the virtue is in Christ. But if it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if it's Christ in you, we're going to see something this afternoon. We're going to visit an old scripture that I enjoy preaching on. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And we're going to see a little something that maybe the Lord showed me on my lawnmower the other day. Hey, I had to get another one. That was already in a rapture. That lawnmower's gone. I had to get another one. If y'all will listen as intent as he did, you'll get something out of it. I guess it's a he. But in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to read that scripture today, but I want you to see something that I believe we're missing in that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man. Now the Word itself comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit into us, and it's Word in you. Right? So if you draw strength from the Word, and the Word's in you, then that's what we're talking about. We're drawing strength from the Word that's in you. Right? So many wants to point God to some mystical something way away. Or so far away, they overreach it. God is in you. The hope of glory, Christ, the mind that was in Christ in you. You're reaching plumb away from it, trying to get what's been given to you. God in the human being. Pretty good. Alright, statue of perfect man. The Bible says, we read over here in the book of Luke, where it says virtue went out of him. That's right. Turn this to the men. If we're going to be like him, we must have virtue. Then, we must have it to be like him. Is the first song that I ever loved was to be like Jesus. I've got to have virtue and a pass that can pass forward from me to the people. If you got virtue and you keep it, what good is it? Jesus said, I give my life. I lay down my life. For what? You. So you can draw virtue off of it. So you can come back to the people. Because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us and the check would return insufficient funds, see? No, none there to draw from, check bounced. Somebody looked at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out carrying home like a sinner, not much virtue can be drawn from that. All right, let's read this right here. Virtue must be in us, and until we get virtue. Now look, when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. Faith's the foundation. Can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. How you like that? Have you ever read that before? Faith alone won't do it. You've got to have these ads. Alright? Faith alone won't do it. You've got, Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, then it might be the reason you don't have it, because many churches of today teach you don't have to have it. Same way in the message. I always was eternal. I was born with eternal life and all this stuff. I don't see that. I see that we have to grow in grace and knowledge. We have to receive the new birth. We have to be born again. Alright? Because many churches of today teach you don't have to have it, or the days of it is past. They don't have to have it. The only thing you have to do is just join the church or believe the message. Can I say that? Same thing. That's what he's saying right here. All you have to do is just come to a message church and just start believing and then that's all. No, I'm going to read you a quote today from the Future Home that Brother Branham said, I've taught three works of grace from the beginning and thank God I'm still teaching it now. So I don't see where a lot of preachers have told me that Brother Branham, after the seals broke, changed the way he preached the new birth. That's a lie. To me, that's a lie. That's the lie, because it's not true, but they're taking the quotes. It's like I told Jim the other day, they've got the cow, they've got the grass, and they've got the tree. So they've got the quotes, the Bible, they got the picture, but they've got the cow eating grass in the top of the tree. They don't have their picture put right, but thank God we've got a teacher up there, and he's going to be preaching some on it today too, that can put the thing together. And let me say this, there's many doctrines. So I want you to be able to draw virtue off of what you hear. There's many doctrines. See, the Parousia doctrine, the two-soul doctrine, every doctrine in the message has quotes. So was Brother Branham that confused? Did he have that many doctrines in this one message that we hold so dear? He can't. But Dad's the only, Brother Dale's the only preacher I've ever seen that takes every quote that even seems contrary and lays them out there and puts them together and lets the Holy Ghost put them together for you, not man. Because I've heard these people preach just over here. Well, they've got their 25 quotes that they drill on over here. Well, what about this one over here?
Right.
I always was eternal. I have eternal life. I was born in the world a baby with eternal life. A lot of you heard it on the internet. Then Brother Branham over here on adoption, he says, your eternal life begins at the altar.
Right.
And how confused is that? They said, oh, he always was a grain of wheat, or I always was an eagle. Brother Branham, I got 15 quotes where Brother Branham said, I was a cucklebird. But when the life of the wheat came in, I became a wheat. When the life of the wheat came in,
right,
I became a wheat. Now see, there's a change there. Now he's not that confused. We are.
Right.
Because if you deny one quote, then you've got Brother Branham, you're saying he was wrong here, but he was right here. Same way with the Daniel 70 weeks. There's many quotes it sounds like it's contrary, but they're not. Once you put them all together, it's a beautiful picture. And thank God that we can draw virtue from that. Virtue, anyone knows what the word virtue means? See, we must have it. If virtue went from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength and power. All right, dunamis, power. So has anybody got any questions or anything on virtue? There's the virtue. That's the life inside working its way out. That's the same thing. But faith alone can't do it. Now, Brother Brown said, faith alone, faith will get you in a rapture. Faith will put you in the body of Christ. All right? But faith will not make you a perfect man, a complete man, in the economy of God. Sure, you're son of God. Sure, you're just as eternal as God is. But God doesn't want just that. He don't want you just to have faith. He wants you to have faith in yourself. Well, Lisa said, you got to have faith in yourself first. This is where the virtue comes from. And you got to say, hey, I got to have this. Don't walk around saying, now, Trudy's got to have it. Sister Trudy's got to have it. Now, she just got to have virtue. Well, that'll do you a bit of good. That ain't got a lot of virtue. That ain't got a lot of knowledge. We ain't got a lot of knowledge. All these things tie together. So next week I want you to look up the word knowledge in the dictionary and look up the word knowledge in the Bible, because you're going to get a bunch of scriptures. But look up both of them and bring them with you. When I quote them, you'll know where they are. All right, let's go.